Howdy and welcome to the Where to Hunt podcast, the podcast that connects public land hunting enthusiasts. Today is June 11th, 2018. I'm your host, Eric Clark. Thanks for tuning in and joining me on another episode. This week, I talk with guest Rich Cook of Cook's Fatal Attraction Deer Scent. And Rich is just this awesome, down-to-earth, super genuine and authentic guy who is in business for all of the right reasons and none of the wrong ones. And in fact, doing a quick Google search of Cook's Fatal Attraction, and you'll see that out of 35 votes on their Facebook page, they have gotten all five-star reviews. He has not received any piece of negative feedback on his product since the inception of his business about 5 years ago in 2013. So a really cool episode. I don't know anything about deer scents. I've only used one once, had a negative experience with it, and kind of wrote it off. And Rich has done a great job of navigating through this topic as someone who I think really gets it, understands it, and has gotten me excited about trying something like this again, and hopefully with some success. Whereas last time it was just the exact opposite. It wasn't even neutral. It was just a negative experience. So that being said, I will go ahead and bring on Rich, and you can hear all about it. All right. So we have a guest of the week with us today. I have on the other line with me Rich Cook with Cook's Fatal Attraction Deer Scents. Rich, how's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'm happy that you're taking time to be on the show, as I am for every guest. I'm thankful for all that. But you know, I'm really interested to talk to you today about some of the products you have and some of the things you have going on over there.
Yeah, so I collect fresh deer scent out of my CWD certified deer herd. And I currently have like five products. I've got a bedding scent, a calming scent, a dominant buck, a rutting buck, and a doe estrus scent.
So you got all the bases covered. So how did you, what made you want to get into this? How did that start for you?
So back when I started deer hunting, I was 12 years old, and I kept reading magazines and seeing in the stores and everything, all this deer scent. So I bought a bottle of it, and I tried it, and I tried it, and I tried it for years on end, and I just didn't get no results. And I was like, boy, you know, you take something from a deer to attract other deer. I mean, that's just natural. You know, that's how Mother Nature intends it to work. But I always felt like, hey, somebody's cutting corners here on this product and it's not working. So I just said, hey, one day when the time's right, I'm going to buy my own deer and I'm going to start my own scent. No water added, no preservatives in it, just 100% natural.
Pretty cool. So how many deer do you have?
I've got 50 deer currently.
Holy cow.
And fawns hitting the ground kind of daily, so yeah. That number is growing.
A good friend, a very close friend of mine, we actually host a different podcast together. His dad owns a deer farm here in Wisconsin, and I think he's probably got somewhere around 50 deer too, so it's interesting to see how he takes care of them, because he's got a pretty large area for them. You know, he's got a big plot of land for these deer to exist, and I know come a certain time of the year, he's got to separate the bucks and stuff like that. It's pretty neat. I like going to his house because I always get to pet the deer.
yeah, it's pretty cool. And it does take quite a little bit of land, you know, to do it and to keep them all, you know, so you don't get overcrowding or anything.
Right. Yeah, sure. Do you, and then like, how did you, you know, I'm just generally curious, and if you don't want to go into it, that's totally cool. But like, where do you, if I want to buy a deer, how do you do that? Just go to Google and how do I buy a deer?
There's some forums on these social media pages or whatever, whitetail deer for sale, but you got to go get registered with your state and get all the licensing stuff ready and meet the requirements. They'll come out and check your pen that it's all ready for deer and meets all the requirements. Then you can go purchase the deer. I know here in Minnesota, it's $100. I believe it's $100. To get the license, but so it's not too bad.
Yeah. And you got to build some pretty high fences, I have to imagine, huh?
Here it's 8 foot.
Yeah. All right. That's no joke.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing it that way?
Now that you have since 2013.
Okay. So not too long,
I started. I started with just four deer, but they were four bred deer. And the numbers multiply pretty fast when they have twins every year.
No doubt. Are you extracting the scents just by yourself? Do you have some people helping you out to do that?
No, I do 100% of it by myself.
Wow. So when do you get really, really busy where you're like, you just don't show your face well because you're out there doing, you know, getting all these scents ready and stuff?
Yeah, already starting in August, I get pretty busy. I've got a lot of guys doing the mock scrapes, and I send a lot of my buck scents out in August. I mean, I'm sending some out right now. Some of the guys are doing it currently, but August starts getting busy. And then September's busier yet, and October busier yet, and November's about the peak.
Okay, so the way that you're doing it, the scents are actually reflective. They're not old, right? Like you're not using scent from last year and putting it on some preservative. You're doing it like, here it is. This, you want the scent for August? It's going to come to you in August, kind of deal. Exactly.
I know about how much I sell or whatever, and that's how much I'll collect. And I collect it, I bottle it, and I ship it right out. A lot of times I don't even hardly have any scent on hand after I've collected and shipped it out from day to day even, you know?
That's nuts. What's the collection process look like for some of the stuff? Like, how do you go about doing that?
Well, I've got a collection stall, and I put the deer into the collection stall, and then they pee, and then it goes down. It gets funneled down into a bucket. And then that's how I collect it.
That's quite the operation.
Mm-hmm. And I do one deer per bottle of my scent, except for my bedding scent. I'll do a bedding scent. Sometimes I'll do a doe and a fawn, or I'll do a buck and a doe. And I've did a buck, doe, and a fawn. So when you're out hunting, that when a deer comes up in there, it can smell like, hey, there was a little family group that was just bedded down here.
Wow. So as far as the scents go, it really matters to the deer. So I have, I've done a number of these podcasts now, and one of my guests, who actually is from Wisconsin, Dan Infault, he's talked about like how deer use their nose like we as humans use our eyes. They kind of see the world with their nose. So when you say I collect scent from like a calm bed of deer and have this kind of familiar kind of thing going on, that matters to some deer based on how your hunting tactics are kind of.
Yeah. So what it does is, let's just say you're out there bow hunting and you're in your stand and that buck comes in, he comes in and he's relaxed because he can smell that deer were just bedded in that area. And he knows if deer were just bedded in there, you know, nothing spooked them. So, they come in a lot calmer, and that's why I call it my calming scent and or my bedding scent.
That's nuts. I did not realize that. I would not have considered that at all until I maybe kind of heard what Dan said. And now hearing what you have as far as a product to kind of match up with some of that stuff. I mean, that's really something. So you kind of have a scent. This is almost like a toolbox, like, or a lure in a tackle box. Like, you have a scent for very different scenarios.
Exactly. And that one also, the bedding scent there works great for when you go out there to check your trail camera, you know.
Yeah.
Cover your human scent, you know, and to not get them thinking that there's any human out there.
So do you, when you're applying this, do you just put it on your boot or how do you actually apply it?
I put it on my boot. But if I'm checking my trail cameras, I put it on my boot. If I'm hunting, I don't like to put it on my boot because you walk up to the tree stand and then you climb up it. And then sometimes they'll go up there and they'll smell that and they'll be right at the base of your tree. But when I check the trail cameras, I'll put it on the boot because it doesn't bother me if they walk up, you know, 5 feet away from the camera.
Right. You actually want that to happen. So that's a good
thing. Yeah. So if I'm hunting, I'll do it like on a drag line or I'll put it on a scent wick.
Okay.
Yep.
I did. So I haven't done a lot with, deer scents or things of that nature. I feel like the one time I did it, I had a weird experience. It was one of those little like wafers and you hang in a tree branch and it's, doe and estrus or whatever it was. And this is a couple of years ago. And I had a doe come through and she smelled that and she started blowing, you know, And I thought to myself, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, I just bought this on a whim. I was buying some hunting stuff that I actually need. I saw that. I was like, yeah, I'll give that a shot. And then I hang in this tree not too far from my stand, and this doe comes through and she starts blowing. I know she didn't see me. I don't know what the wind was doing necessarily, but to me, it really seemed like she smelled that and it didn't seem right to her. You know, that's what it seemed like to me.
And what it could have been, and I guess I don't know which scent you use, but it could have had a preservative in it. Because I do testing here on my farm. I'll take like the doe estrus and I'll go bring it out by my bucks and they're standing there, you know what I mean, like wanting to come through the fence for me. If I put preservative in it, it's not the same result. They can tell that something changed in the smell of that scent.
Sure.
And that could have happened in your case there, you know, it could have smelled something in that scent that wasn't natural to that deer. And that's why I will not put preservatives in my scent, because I know how effective it is when it's 100% natural.
So then without the preservatives, what's the shelf life of your product? If I order it, how soon should I be using it?
Well, you got to refrigerate it.
Okay.
If you refrigerate it, you'll get 90 days out of it for sure.
Oh, cool. Okay.
If you know, like, you're going to put it out, and then let's just say you're not going to hunt for, like, 2 weeks or thereabouts or whatever, go ahead and throw it in your freezer and freeze it, and it'll stay even longer than that.
That's good to know. All right, cool. And it's like when you have the – just back up just a little bit here. I'm kind of bouncing around, which is fine. It's super interesting, obviously. Mm-hmm. You have – we talked about, you have the various scents for different scenarios, you know, doe and heat. I'm looking at your website right now. Doe and heat, dominant buck scent, dominant buck scent. There's another one, just a different container, it looks like. Is the keep calm sure, and like the sure. bedding, are there big differences between some of these as far as?
No, they're pretty much similar. Like I said, the biggest difference is it might be a doe and a fawn. You know what I mean? In my bedding and in my calming, it might just be one doe or one, two, or three does. You know, them is just the difference between calming and bedding.
Okay.
But results are pretty close to the same. I can't say one's better than the other or one's worse than the other.
Sure. And like so if I hunt the rut, which, you know, we all try to get it right. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we have vacation time from work and we can make it happen. You know, what do you suggest? Do you suggest like a doe and heat kind of scent, or do you think of dominant buck is a good one? And maybe help me understand the different applications.
Okay. The doe and estrus, it definitely is my number one seller. And, definitely like about 3 weeks, pre-rut, them bucks are out there walking and sniffing and scent checking these does. If you can get that scent in front of them anywhere from that period into the rut, during the rut and post rut, that scent is awesome. And I bring all of my does into heat myself through my artificial insemination process.
Sure.
And I verify that when she's in that collection stall, I'll run a buck down to that collection stall with the door closed, obviously. And he just pawing at the ground, you know what I mean, trying to get in there to breed her. But I don't let that happen because I'm trying to collect the scent out of her.
Right, right.
So yeah, every bottle I've got, I will guarantee that doe is ready to be bred at the time of collection. So you ask which one's better between that and the buck?
Yeah,
that really makes
a use case. Like, I want to make sure that... you know, if someone's going to buy your product from hearing this, or I'm certainly going to, I want to make sure that I understand when I should be using these things so I have the most success with it, right?
So the dominant buck, that can be used. I mean, I've got guys using it. I got guys that use it year round, but I've got guys that use it from right now all the way through season. And when you mentioned like a different tool in a toolbox or whatever, what that buck scent is doing is it's telling them bucks in your hunting area that, hey, I'm a new guy here and I'm, you know, claiming stake to this ground here or whatever. What the message that they're getting from it is, hey, there's a new guy here. He's going to try to take the does away from us, and I want to come out there and I want to fight him. So when you ask like which one's better, it depends upon what kind of a deer herd you got. If you got an aggressive one, or if you've got a non-aggressive one. If you got the aggressive deer there, the dominant buck is just as good as Doestrus.
That's interesting. And so you say there's some guys that are, so it's actually kind of cool if I think about it, because you have an actual deer that you're extracting the scent from on a regular basis. And if I'm actually telling these other deer in my neighborhood or area that I'm hunting that this is an actual deer that is in this space based on the fact that they're smelling that scent. And if I use it year round, when rut comes around, there's a real opportunity that that buck might actually step out to want to quote unquote fight the other one.
And a lot of the nocturnal bucks will come out periodically in the daytime because they are so mad that that buck's there and they smell his urine in their area, but they've never laid eyes on him.
Yep.
And every now and then they will come out. And you'll if it's hunting season, you may see them when you're in your stand. Otherwise, trail cam pictures, if you use a trail camera, many, many times he stood right there. And a lot of these hunters had never, ever had a picture of that buck in daylight. So it's an awesome tool. And like I said, it's, you know, I mean, Mother Nature, that's how she works, you know, is deer communicate through the urine.
That's nuts, man. So do you think that if I just got the, I mean, hypothetically, you know, if you don't have the answer, mm-hmm. I don't expect it to, but I'm just curious, if I buy, you know, like the buck scent that we're talking about, the dominant buck scent, and I don't do the annual thing, or I'm not putting it out consistently throughout the year, and I just put it out that one day, I'm going to go hunt, you know, tomorrow, I finally got some time, and I'm going to bring the scent with me to see if I can drum anything up. Do you think, because it's such a newcomer that they've never smelled that scent before, would that So a similar effect, do you think?
It could, but if I was you, I would go apply it a few days, if not a week, before you hunt that area. If you were going to bring it, if you were just going to go buy it, like let's just say Friday night and your season opens Saturday morning, you know, if you were to do that, I would take a drag line and walk it, because then you're really spreading that scent out over a lot of yards, you know, that you're walking in. Sure. You know, so that it can be there, because otherwise, basically, if you just buy it and you go into your stand and you put it down in front of you, that deer is going to have to come by there anyway to smell it. You know, he's not going to know that it's there. That's why I say apply it 3-4 days or a week ahead of time. He'll know it's there before you get to your deer stand, if that makes sense.
So are you saying if I do it a week ahead of time and then again when I'm out, that's going to potentially increase the likelihood that he's going to come back around and say, hey, I smelled this before. Okay, now he's back. I'm going to go check it out again.
Well, because now you're in his head, you know, and that's what I tell all of my customers and my field staff or whatever. If there's a particular buck you're after and you got him in one of them mock scrapes in front of a camera, now you kind of turned the advantage to yourself, because now you're in his head. He knows that there's a buck that comes to that area, and when he goes back and beds down during the daytime there or whatever, he's going to be thinking about that buck. You know, he wants to fight that buck because he wants to breed them does, you know? It can get him up on his feet and get him in front of you.
I just think there's so many layers to deer hunting and so many pockets of knowledge that this is literally something I've not thought of getting into a deer's head. You know, I hear of people playing chess with deer by, you know, reading the wind appropriately and playing the wind to their advantage. And people, I've learned of some people that are really good at that. So if you combine that, some of these other hunting tactics that we've learned as hunters throughout the years, and then you insert this into your arsenal, I mean, you're really just kind of increasing your odds of getting in front of the deer that you want.
You're 100% right. And when you do that, it's, you know, you're sending him signals, hey, I'm here, come find me, you know? And then, like you said, you want the scent control and all that, so when he does come, he's not going to smell you. But, yeah, you're sending him messages like, hey, I'm here, and I'm a deer. You know, you're not sending him that you're a human. You're sending him the message that you're a deer, and, hey, come find me, because he's going to want to fight. They establish that pecking order a good month ahead of the rut, you know, and when a new guy comes in, that changes that pecking order.
So they have to address it. They have to go in and say, "Hey, I'm the dominant one," or maybe, "Hey, I have a shot at beating this guy and leveling up a little bit," or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty cool. So that's, I mean, that in and of itself is, you know, at the very minimum, it's worth a try. You know, like, I want to try. It's not going to hurt you. There's not like you're going to have, this isn't going to like decrease your chance for success on a bigger deer or the deer that you're after by trying your products. It's only going to potentially improve what you're doing.
And it will bring bucks from your neighboring properties onto your property in front in them mock scrapes. It happens everywhere. I've sold my scent in 49 states, and I've got staff in almost all of them, and every single one of them will say the same thing that I just said. Wow, I got new bucks in here since I started these mock scrapes with the dominant buck scents.
That's so cool.
And many of them, even right there in Wisconsin, where you're from or whatever, I got to say this story because they said, hey, you know, two farms down, they're saying there's a 200-inch buck down there, and we've got 35 cameras out on our farms, and we have never seen that buck. They've made a mock scrape with my dominant buck scent, and it was one day after they made that scrape, that buck was on their farm. And he says, I know that buck would have never come to this farm otherwise, if we wouldn't have did that.
So that makes me think of another question. So, like, when you use the dominant buck and you have a dominant buck in your herd, why do you think the pee is different on a dominant buck rather than a non-dominant buck? Is that something to do with the testosterone or whatever they have going on?
Yeah.
From a chemical perspective?
Testosterone, or I believe that they can tell the age of that. I mean, they can definitely tell between, like, say, a buck fawn and a four-year-old buck, you know? Mm-hmm. And I collect it out of 3 years and older bucks is what I collect my dominant buck scent out of.
Okay, so they're mature animals, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So, like, they're identifying that piss as this is a contender, this is someone I should pay attention to.
Right, and if people like to hunt does, believe me, the does come in and check them mock scrapes too. So it isn't just like, hey, if you use dominant buck, you're either gonna see a great big buck or nothing. That's not true. It'll bring in all sizes of deer.
That's cool. I mean, this is, you know, every podcast I do, I learn so much, and it's always helpful for me to be out there with all this knowledge that I'm armed with every year to try to change up some of my tactics and what I'm doing. And I have to imagine the audience, hopefully they're learning too. That's the whole reason I do this. But I'm looking at your site, and you have a couple other scents on here too that aren't necessarily deer scents, but they're more like some cover scents. Do you want to talk about some of cover those scents?
Cover scent and like a food scent attractant. And why I've added them on there is because I've made them for the last couple of years or whatever, and they work too. The deer come in there. So I've got a sweet red apple. I've got a white oak acorn. I've got a molasses, and I've got a dirt cover scent, and I've got a sweet corn scent. The sweet corn, obviously, you make that for like a lot of these states that can bait with like corn. Yep. And when you spray that in the area, like on logs, trees, branches in that area, you can smell that for a long ways away, and it'll get them to find that bait pile a lot sooner. And the molasses scent, I mean, I've got bear hunters that use that. I've got hog hunters that use that. I've got deer hunters that use that. It's effective on a lot of it. And I got a lot of guys that just spray it on their clothing, you know, just to cover their scent.
Yep. Yeah, it makes sense. Like, if you're depending on the area you're hunting, you kind of want to match your scent to the environment. So, like, where I hunt for gun here in Wisconsin, I end up actually hunting by quite a few pines, you know, so I would try to find something that fits with that, or like the dirt. I can actually, you know, there's a lot, the ground is very soft on all these pines, so the dirt would probably work really well.
Oh, yeah, it would. And I mean, another reason why that, I mean, I come out with them since there too is, I mean, because there is some states that don't, that have a ban on like urine scents, you know?
Yep.
And I made it for them states too, because I've got a lot of requests. Hey, we can't use your urine here. So would you, do you make any other scents? And actually I've got one that I'm probably going to put on my website in, in about 2 weeks here is I've actually got a synthetic buck scent and I got a synthetic doe and heat scent too. And that exactly is made for like them states that can't use the real urine.
I wonder why they can't. What's the deal with that? Do you know why they can't?
It was for the, they had CWD outbreaks in their states.
Sure.
And then they banned the urine.
Even though your herd is certified as non-CWD, that's not enough to make it okay, you don't think? Or they just don't want a chance at it?
Their DNR just put a statewide ban on it. But all my deer are tested.
So when you do the synthetic one, they just say, hey, this isn't real. Like, this is just it's whatever.
Yeah, their ban is on urine-based scents. And my synthetic is non-urine-based, so that's okay to use there. And them cover scents are okay to use there.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. And they're an effective scent, too. They really are.
I believe it. I believe it 100%. If I'm hunting near some white oaks, I would definitely consider the white oak acorn cover scent just as a way to kind of magnify some of that if I'm in that area.
And that is the most popular one.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, deer love acorns. I mean,
if they're
fresh, you know, that's a good sign. If anyone they're dropping, and you know, that's definitely something we look for when we're scouting.
And I mean, I can tell you this here too. Like, I've got some oak trees in my deer pen or whatever, and no matter what food you have out there, whatever, when acorns start dropping, they won't eat their food. They'll go to the acorns first.
That's interesting, because acorns taste like crap to someone like us. But man, the deer love them.
Yeah, and especially the white oak. They like white oak better than a red oak.
Yeah. Yes,
and the white oak, I mean, acorns is in a bunch of states, you know, so I mean, that makes it popular too.
Yeah, we have it here. But it's like one of those things, you know, I probably wouldn't use a sweet corn if I'm hunting pines, you know, because that probably wouldn't align with, you know, what's happening in that atmosphere, that environment for the deer. That probably would be out of place. I think it makes sense to find the ones that make sense for the area you're hunting.
Yeah, and I've got more scents too, or whatever. They're not on my website, and I'm probably gonna come up with them the next year. But definitely, pine is one of them. You know?
Sure. I mean, I might use that in my house.
I
just love the smell of pine. It's just like this. I mean, it probably smells like Christmas too in some way. Maybe that's why, I don't know. But
I mean, mine smells like that exactly. You know, but like I said, I've made it, but it's not on my website, and I don't think it'll be on there this year. But for the next year, it's a possibility.
Good to go. And you mentioned you have staffers in every state. You know, is there ever a desire for more of those people? Are you still looking to grow that base? Or
yeah, I've actually got it. I mean, actually, right on my Instagram in my bio, you know, I said DM me for field staff position. So yeah, I kind of just do like a little interview right on there or over the phone. And I'm interested in adding staff for sure.
Cool. And we got a number of listeners that might take some interest in that, and that's basically just a pro staffer. They're promoting your products, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I offer a percentage discount, to my field staffers.
Okay.
And then in return they send me pictures, and then I post them on my social media pages, and then mention them in there too, so they get a lot of recognition, you know, through that.
Yeah, I mean, you get a following there, so I believe it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that, you know, comment on pictures that aren't followers too, so it's even bigger than what the number shows, you know.
Yeah, you get that networking effect kind of where one person is friends with, you know, a couple hundred, and yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's pivot then just a little bit, and I want to make sure people know where to find you based on this episode. If someone's interested in taking a look at some of your products and they want to pull the trigger, what's the website where they would go to check you out?
It's cooksdeersand.com, and I have free shipping on every single item that I sell. Don't believe that. Yeah, people should have to pay for the shipping, so I pay for the shipping.
That's awesome. And people don't want to. It's the expectation at Amazon set for everybody. So, you know, whether they should or shouldn't, they certainly don't want to, and that's a good thing that you do it. I'm sure that helps quite a bit.
Yeah, and in most places, if it's ordered by Wednesday, you get it in anywhere from 1 to 3 days normally. Definitely Wisconsin. I know Wisconsin. If you put the order in on Monday, you've got it by Wednesday.
Yeah, that's good to know, especially when we head into like September and starts, you know, getting into bow hunting. It's a good thing to consider that timing.
Maybe if you're way up north or something, that it's a far long ways from a post office or a small post office, then maybe it'd be a third day. But anywhere else, it's there in 2 days.
Good to go. And then, so you do have, you obviously mentioned Instagram. What is it? Just how do people find that? I'm looking at it now. I want to make sure I get it right.
It's Cook's Fatal Attraction Deer Scent on Instagram and on Facebook.
So you got it wrapped up on both. Mm-hmm. You're pretty active on both, but I would beg to say that you're certainly super active on Instagram from the looks of it.
Yeah, I spend about 4 hours a day on Instagram. I just think I can hit a bigger audience with it.
Well, and it looks like you do, it tells a different story because it's so image based. So it's you talk about people sending all these pictures. I mean, you want to get your buck fixed for the day. I'd say, even if you're not interested in the scents, just go to Cook's Fatal Attraction. I can't talk today.
Attraction.
Thank you. Attraction. Scent, and then you're just gonna scroll through bucks after bucks after bucks.
Yeah, and if you want, I mean, them are either customers of mine or field staff of mine. Go ahead and send a DM out to any one of them and ask them, hey, what do you think of his scent? And let them answer. You know what I mean? And I'm sure they would love to talk about it, you know, like we are now. And
then look at one.
I'm really, 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 why I started this company or whatever, I really, really want to just like bust that myth of, hey, the deer stand don't work. You know, when it's done right, it works wonders, you know? And like I said, my staff and my customers there have found that out, you know? They go, all right, you know, I want to try this or whatever. And they tried it and then look at the page and look at the pictures of the deer that they shot, you know? And here's another one that can be the real, real hard too is, you know, I talk to some people or whatever, they go, I don't need no deer stand. I get my deer every year, you know? And I don't doubt them, you know, I'm sure they do get their deer every year. But a lot of these ones, you know, I mean, they're going out there and they're wanting to shoot their personal best buck or whatever. And they're getting that buck. They're getting like, say, that 2-year-old buck, you know, and they're just that. But they really, really want that more mature buck, you know. Yeah. And I just say, hey, try this scent. Try that buck scent, like I said, or my Astra scent or whatever. And a lot of them did that. And I mean, now they're shooting 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old deer because them deer know that it's real scent and they're coming out while they're sitting in their stand. And they're just like, wow, now them people are passing up them smaller deer, you know, younger deer, because they know that they can pull them older deer out with my products.
And it's not going to break the bank to try it. I mean, these products aren't going to break the bank. We're not talking $50, you know, we're talking, you know, anywhere from looks like, you know, $10 to maybe 30 max, depending on what you're after here or the amount that you want.
Right. Yeah. And if they qualify for the field staff position, I mean, it's even a lot cheaper than that.
Sure. Yeah. What does it take to qualify, by the way, for those people?
Basically what it does, because what I am doing there is, I mean, I'm making them the field staff. So I'm kind of really like sponsoring their page. So what they got to do is they got to send me pictures, the trail cam pictures. They got to send me like harvest pictures and, they got to send that back to me. So what I'm looking for is definitely somebody that's active on there, that they post frequently, you know, that they're involved. Yeah. So that's basically what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at, and I really kind of want to say this, I'm not just like looking for guys who shoot giant bucks every year. If they do, I love to have them too. But hey, just family members that love to deer hunt, I mean, I take them all the time, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
We all love the deer hunting. Yeah. The ones I just don't like as much is if I go look at the page, and I mean, they had 2 posts on their Instagram page in the last year, because, you know, then they're not doing the advertising part for my product, you know? So that's what I really look at.
So it's not that, it's not so stringent or anything like that where it's not impossible. And then you get the discount, you get to try the product, and shit, if it works, which sounds like it does in most cases, then you're sharing some great pictures, you know, as a result. And I'd happily put your product in my picture if that were the case, you know, at that point.
In the 5 years, I've never had anybody that's come here to the farm that I've talked to, you know what I mean, coworkers or anything, or sent me an email or anything. I've never had one person that said, your product does not work.
That's something.
I take pride in that.
And you got, like, if I Google you, you know, the ratings that you have across the internet from the different platforms out there, your ratings are outstanding.
And
people really
I
love
take
your
that,
product. People really appreciate it.
I take that back to the, being the 100% natural, you know, and harvesting it and being as sanitary as can be, you know, in the collection process and everything. You know, I mean, I don't cut any corners, and why I don't is because I want to help them hunters and their success, and I want repeat customers.
Yeah, so those are the best ones. You don't
it would cost me money
to get them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. What's your favorite hunting story? We'll wrap up here with one of your favorites. You got a favorite memory from hunting?
Well, probably one of my favorite ones or whatever maybe would be the first year that I started this deer scent, because I got to tell the wife, hey, you know, I'm going to buy these deer and I'm going to do this deer scent, you know what I mean, and all that. So I do, and this was the first year that I actually used my product, and we weren't in, this was the rifle season, the okay. Minnesota rifle opener.
Yeah.
And I went and I did that drag line, like I mentioned, and I did it for probably about 600 yards. And I come right alongside of a swamp because I like to hunt pretty aggressive. And I knew the does were bedded in that swamp. So I walked about 20 yards away from that swamp. And then I kept reapplying my drag line about every 50, 75 yards. Putting fresh estrus scent is what I did on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up to my stand there, and just as, you know, the sun had come up or whatever, and there's a little bit of a hill as it goes down to where them does were bedded. And it was a frosty morning, and all of a sudden I seen steam coming up over that hill. And I told the wife, I go, there's the buck coming. And she goes, how do you know that? I said, see that steam coming up there? I said, that's a buck. And when I said I hunt kind of aggressive, I know what happens, and I know the deer because I see deer 365 days a year right here. I knew what was going to happen is that buck was going to run these tamarack swamps, and he's going to scent check all them does. And I know that I've got does bedded down in that swamp right there, and the bucks are going to come by, kick them does up, check them to see if they're an estrus. If they're not, they're going to move on. Well, when they moved on, he's going to come in contact with that drag line, which he did. And then he come right, I mean, he was going to come right to the stand, but he was out there at about 150 yards. And I said, well, I'm going to shoot that one because that was the biggest one I had on my camera here that entire fall. And there he is standing there. And I remember the wife said, why do you want to shoot him right there? He's going to come right to the stand. Look at him. He's smelling your drag line. And I just, hey, he's broadside 150 yards with a rifle. And I took him right there. That's probably my most memorable hunt.
That is really exciting.
It's really cool. When you made that product and you used it yourself and you got the biggest animal, you know what I mean, that you had on your trail cam picture, that means a lot, you know?
Absolutely. That's a great story. I can relate to it a little bit. You know, I got the hunting app that I created, and, you know, less of getting a successful tag filled. I got to use it with my dad when he got a deer and we went to go track it. And he's like, well, meet me by the truck. And I said, meet me by the truck, turn on the Where to Hunt app and I'll just come find you in the middle of the woods. And we did. And it was this really cool thing, you know, for me. So I got to use the product I developed in the woods, and it's a cool feeling. I can relate a little bit to that. It was just a cool thing, you know, for you to see that come to life and work the way you visioned it after all that hard work and investing in getting a deer and getting the fence built. That's a lot. That's a big undertaking. That's a really cool, exciting feeling. And then, you know, you feel comfortable and confident selling it and putting it on the marketplace because you're not lying when you say it works because you tested it yourself.
Exactly. So then that was on Saturday. You know, I went back to work on Monday, and that very first year in 2013, I only did 1 gallon, you know, I mean, of estrus is all I did. So I go back to work on Monday morning, Everybody there is, I got a story for you. I mean, I had to like line them up to listen to their stories or whatever. And every one of them got their buck and they said, you better never stop making this scent because I've never seen so many bucks. I've never had such a quick hunt, you know? Yeah. And each story was a little bit different. A lot of them was, hey, I got my son's, you know, his first buck, you know, we never see bucks here. You know, we put your estrus out and he had an opportunity at 3 bucks. Said, wow, I'm a customer for life, you know?
Man, that's cool. Super cool.
Yeah. And then I just kind of grew from there. And then in year three, I got on the social media, which was Facebook. And then that was just real slow growing for me. And then in year four, which would have just been 2 years ago, I started Instagram. And I definitely grew a lot more there.
So now you're just really busy. Hopefully you're still getting some time in the woods for yourself and not working, you know, all the time.
I do, but not as much as I would like to. You know, I only get out with the bow probably about 3 to 4 times. And then that week of the gun season is what I do. And then muzzleloader, if I didn't get nothing, you know.
Yeah, get that extra opportunity for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thanks again, for Rich, for taking time to be on the show. It means a lot to me. You know, time's our biggest asset these days, especially when we're all busy. So, you know, I'm excited to learn about your product. I hope others are too.
Thanks for having me. And if you go ahead and try the product and you ever want me on again and talk about your experience using it or whatever, I'd be game for that.
I certainly will. It'll be this September. You'll see my order come through.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. All right, well, you have a great night.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
The tip of the week, or the opinion, or the tactic, or the fact, something. I was looking for a good tip for this week. Based on this episode, I was trying to find something relative, and I found a lot of fun facts about deer scent and how their noses work and all sorts of cool stuff. Deer communicate with scent, which ties into a lot of what Rich was saying about, you know, finding the right urine and making sure, you know, it comes from the dominant buck, or, you know, having a doe and a fawn together creates this sense of calm or whatever because the deer are bedding together. And so that's interesting. When deer walk through, they secrete scent from different glands, the one in between the hoof, then the dew claw, whatever it's called on a deer. I'm not a deer expert from their anatomy standpoint. They also have a gland by their eye. So some interesting things there, but, you know, that's all fine. I call this a public land hunting podcast, and I'm always looking for ways to think about public land differently. And one thing that I found when I was looking for some ideas here was a tip someone had mentioned on a blog was keep your mouth shut. And I think what they meant by that was, now they actually said what they meant. What they meant by that was like literally keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about where you hunt. So if you've had success, don't talk about that success from a geographical standpoint because other people go hunt it. I think that's true for the most part, that's what would happen. I think that I wouldn't keep my mouth shut. I think I'd tell people about it, especially people that, you know, I care about or I think could use some help in hunting or maybe have a shot at success if they're trying to level up or simply haven't had any success at all, that if I have some of that success, I'm going to share that spot with people, knowing that the majority of them probably won't care to get out to that spot because they have their own spot with their sights set on that they've scouted hard to get to. I don't know. I just hearsay, maybe there's people that I don't know on a peripheral of a conversation that would end up doing something like that. You know, if I'm just talking to a bunch of people I don't know, those people have no allegiance to me or anything like that. Where, you know, if they were to go hunt that spot or whatever, they might do that. And I don't think I'd be that bothered personally, because I've had some rants about public land hunting and how I don't think that, I think there's an episode I did a while back called Your Spot's Not Sacred, and it's not. I think it's, because it's public land, it's not your spot. So, and if you're doing it right, if you're getting the mature bucks and you're getting your personal best and you're having a lot of success that way, chances are you're working pretty hard for it and you're getting in some thick territory, some thick brush, some wet areas. Not a lot of people are going to want to go through all that. You know, if they're lazy hunters that are just trying to cut corners and take a shortcut to a big buck, there's no shortcut to get to some of those areas. So, keep your mouth shut, maybe. And I know a lot of people do, and I know that's why the app, Where to Hunt app, has some love and hate out there. Some people love it and some people hate it. And I'm glad that there's no in between. In fact, I'd prefer that people love or hate it because it sparks a reaction. So, you know, the people that hate it also use it because they want to see where the other hunters are too. And it's an interesting thing. But that said, not really a tip of the week. I guess it's the opposite of that. Don't do what I say, do whatever you want to do. And if that's an effective thing for you to keep your mouth shut, great. But if I'm trying to get more people into hunting that I care about, that I think would enjoy the hobby, the heritage, the legacy, the sport, whatever you want to call it, I certainly am not keeping my mouth shut. And I'd be happy to educate and entertain anybody that wants to learn more about deer hunting. For the bad eggs out there, they're going to do what they do anyways. And that just sucks. It'll ruin it for the rest of us. So hopefully that leaves you something to consider as you go on with your day. Looking forward to doing another episode next week. So thanks for tuning in. If you like this show, give me and the show a rating on iTunes. That'd be awesome. If not, give me a 1-star rating. Let me know why so I can make some improvements. I really appreciate any feedback. I mention all the time, I do this for free. This is a hobby. This is fun for me. So I appreciate all of you that listen. Thanks so much. Have a great day and hunt public.